The real motive behind the rioting appears to have been to loot Jewish property. When the crowd broke into a clothes shop, they demanded the return of three children who were supposedly imprisoned there. But rather than look for the missing children, they immediately began helping themselves to the stock of clothes. One Jewish woman, a Mrs. Rosenberg, was attacked by a woman called Sarah Carapace, who bore her a special grudge because she had been forced by the courts to return Mrs. Rosenberg's belongings to her after the war. Mrs. Rosenberg remembered her attacker shouting while beating her, "This is for the Eiderdown!" My interjection. In an earlier chapter called Moral Destruction, Lowe quotes Alan Moorhead, a war correspondent, quote, "In the whole list of sordid human vices, none, I think, were overlooked in Naples during those first few months. What we were witnessing, in fact, was the moral collapse of a people. They had no pride anymore or any dignity. The animal struggle for existence governed everything. Food. That was the only thing that mattered. Food for the children. Food for yourself. Food at the cost of any abasement and depravity. And after food, a little warmth and shelter." Lowe, unquote, Lowe then writes, "What Moorhead recognized was that food was no longer just a physical issue, but a moral one. Across Europe, millions of starving people were willing to sacrifice all moral values for the sake of their next meal. Indeed, years of scarcity had changed the very nature of food. What in Britain was regarded as an everyday right had become in the rest of Europe an expression of power, so that a British soldier was able to say of the German woman who slept with him, shopped for him, and mended his clothes, she was, quote, she was just like my slave. When considering stories like these, two things become immediately apparent. Firstly, it appears that the moral landscape of Europe had become every bit as unrecognizable as the physical landscape. Those who had grown used to living amidst ruins no longer saw anything unusual about the rubble that surrounded them. Likewise, for many of Europe's women after the war, there was no longer anything unusual about having to sell one's body for food. It was left to those coming from outside continental Europe to express surprise at the wreckage they were witnessing," unquote, from Keith Lowe. And my interjection, how much hidden planning lurked behind this unraveling? And today, are we not seeing similar scheming beyond simple greed, to debase the first children of our mother Africa? And I'm not the only one to wonder how it was, how it could be, that the Ebola virus, which never before had erupted everywhere, all different kind of places simultaneously. I mean, is it really hard to understand why our brothers and sisters in the affected regions are suspicious? It's suspicious circumstances, particularly when it's viewed, as we're going to see in a second, in the context of a massive land grab for the fertile land of Africa. And as we said last week, a class system requires a debased class. And power has had many millennia of experience to learn how to create a debased class. And this is obviously an illustration of what happens with extreme manufactured scarcity. You can grab them short hairs and make them do what you want. Food, the all-consuming value, it's acquiring it, is what becomes the priority when you manufacture scarcity. This is the world we are seeing being made around us today. And we cannot say we don't see it happening. I was having a conversation with my son the other day. I'm like a broken record these days. How come? Everyone is seeing this creeping totalitarianism. Why are we so complacent? And then I remembered, you know, when I was working, you know, all you got in front of you is the to-do list, right? And you get invested in that little created reality. We're made to make for ourselves. You know, we get invested in it. It's almost like a reflection of us. Power knows this. So I'm not judgmental about it. Being in that job, it is tunnel vision. You can only see what's right ahead. And being captured in manufactured scarcity is a similar thing. You can only see to the bills that gotta be paid. But there's a difference. There's a difference when you're outside the wage. And we got half the population, one way or another, today, in this so-called Western world, who are outside the wage, half or more. Now that means we are no longer stuck on that to-do list. We're no longer captured by the to-do list. We're able to look around us, not just straight ahead, not just to that carrot in front of our face. Our peripheral vision is kicking in and we're beginning to think beyond what is needed for the job. We're beginning to think authentically as human beings, feeling ourselves as living things on the earth creates a different thought process, creates a sense of unity, or rather, creates a sense of common path, a common fate of all of us on the planet. We share the same earth. We see what power is rushing to do apace, and we cannot, now that we have the means, let them debase anybody, ourselves or anyone else.